Good morning. How are you guys today? Looking good. Hey, before we get started, I just want to point something out. Today is my mom's birthday. So I would say I would stand up here and sing to her. However, one of the many things that she is, taught me, music is not one of them. So we are not going to be up here to sing. However, if you see her today, make sure that you wish her. We are just so thankful for all the great things that she is such a blessing to us in our lives. She's a great mother and a great grandmother, and we're just so happy for her. So wish her a happy birthday here today when you see her before you leave. So last time I went to Belize, it was in 2019. And one of the things that I had to do differently when we were in Belize was I got to drive in Belize. And so we had like three vehicles, and usually I followed people to our certain destinations of where we were supposed to go. But if you've ever driven in a third world country and you've ever been a part of that, you understand that things in different countries are aligned differently. There's no really addresses. You can't just put an address into Apple Maps or Google Maps and it takes you there. They don't really have necessarily addresses. And so I was tasked one afternoon to go pick up some people from a different ministry, you know, and I was with Mifal, and I was pretty sure I could find it. First mistake. But I was pretty sure that I could find it. And so I was driving, and I was driving through Belize, you know, making sure that, you know, you don't hit the pedestrians and you stop at the one stoplight they have in the city and all that kind of stuff, and just making sure that you're not hitting the bicyclists. I mean, it's just completely crazy. If you've ever been to a larger third world city, you can understand it. And so I get further and further away from things that look familiar. And I'm like, what in the world? Where am I? And so I'm starting to like, how am I going to get back? I don't even know if I know how to get back to where I started in order to get to where I need to pick up these people from the ministry. And so I do what, you know, they do in Belize. You FaceTime somebody that's from there. And so I FaceTime Nomar, who is the guy that's kind of my contact there. And I'm like, hey, Nomar, I am completely lost. I have no idea where I'm at. You know, Apple Maps, Google Maps, they're not working. Waze, it's not working, whatever. I don't know where I'm at. He's like, okay. He's like, just hang your phone out the window. We'll see where you're at. And so, you know, you hang your phone out the window, and he's looking at it, looking around, I'm guessing, as, you know, I'm driving, trying not to hit the bicyclists and the pedestrians and all the kids running around in the streets and all that stuff. And so all I can kind of hear him mumble is, and I remember, like, something like, how in the world did you end up there? You know, kind of thing. Like you had one job, one destination that you needed to get to, and you completely went a different direction and went the wrong way. And however, he's like, okay, go to the stop sign. All right, turn left, turn right. He got me to where I needed to go based upon, you know, the technology of my iPhone and FaceTime and all that kind of stuff. And so it was great that we were able to finally get to the destination. But oftentimes in our lives, it's similar. Our heart oftentimes acts like our GPS system in our lives. And if our heart is off and our heart is wrong, then our whole GPS system is not going to work. You know, it didn't work in Belize. And if we're seeking the wrong things and we're doing the things that we shouldn't be doing and we're focused on that stuff, that's where our treasures are in life. And so as a result, our heart might not be necessarily where it should be. And so oftentimes we know that naturally our heart isn't good. We know in Jeremiah where it says the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things, you know. And so we hear people give advice to people, just follow your heart. That is pretty much terrible advice most of the time, especially because our heart is wicked and it's evil. But there's also times in our lives, you know, where Jesus is talking about a little bit about kind of where our treasures is where our heart is. And so meaning that if our treasures are in the right place and we're focused on the right things and we're doing the things in which we should do, then our heart can be in tune with God, and we need to follow that as our GPS. So in Matthew chapter 6, this is what Jesus was teaching. And we're going through the Beatitudes. It's been a great series. I've really enjoyed it. It's done an amazing job. But these are the verses that we're at here today in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19. And it says this: don't store up for yourself treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be as well. You see, there's a relationship between the things in which we seek and the things in which we have and where our heart is and what we pursue in our lives. You know, and I was going to mention this earlier, but the thing is I heard a pastor say, once you show me your calendar and your checkbook, and I will show you where your treasures of your heart is. And I will show you what the thing that you prioritize in your life. And I will show you the things in which you deem is important in your life. And you see, in this context of what's going on in Jesus's teaching, is he's trying to revolutionize some stuff. He's trying to change the way that people think. And so what people thought in that day when it came to physical wellness and physical wealth and materialistic things, they figured that you had strong favor with God. And you see, we can illustrate that necessarily when we look at different ways in which the Bible, the context of things that are going on in that time frame. And so the disciples were walking one day, and they said this to Jesus. They said, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a blind man that had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could see him. You see, there was this idea at this time that if bad things were happening to you, it was because of sin in your life. Now listen, there's sometimes the natural consequences of sin leads to destruction and damage and consequences like that. But to really think that you have a physical ailment as a result of just some unconfessed sin in your life is completely crazy. But that's what the thought process was at this time. They thought because the person was born blind, then therefore they must have either their family sinned or they sinned. But that's not what Jesus is saying at all. And so there's also that Pharisees at that time, they looked at wealth as, you had God's favor in your life. You were rich and you were favor and you were his chosen. It was kind of like a God giving you a compliment because you had all this materialistic goods in your life. You know, and materialism at that time was maybe a little bit different than here, but really not. I mean, they looked at people who dressed and wore jewelry and had all that kind of stuff as wealthy. If you did that and you presented yourself that way, then you were looked upon as that was your God's favor in your life. Or if you were into agriculture, if you had bins and bins full of agriculture, of grain and all that kind of stuff so that you could survive the famine, you were looked upon as favorable. Because not only would you do that is when a famine came, then you would turn around and you would sell that at a rate which would give you an abundance of wealth along those lines. So those are ways in which materialism kind of ran itself rampant in that day of frame. Days of frame. We also see it in Job. You guys, probably a lot of you know the story of Job. But if you know the story of Job, Job was wealthy and he was blessed. And, you know, there was that story where, you know, Satan comes to God and God, you know, they're like, hey, you know, my servant Job will never, ever, you know, won't turn your eye. You know, it's only because you've blessed him and you've given him all the stuff. And so this conversation takes place and Job loses all of his stuff, you know, and then, you know, loses his children. His wife tells him to curse God and die. But if you've read the whole story of Job and you realize that some of his friends that he had there, they were just telling him, listen, Job, you must have done something really bad to lose all this stuff. You must have sin in your life. And so for chapter after chapter, his friends are like, hey, you must have done something bad. You must have done something wrong. Because there was this idea and this mindset that God's favor has to do with your materialistic goods. And if you lose your materialistic goods, therefore you must have sin or something wrong in your life. And you've lost your favor when it comes to God. And so So we have this battle that rages in at all the times, you know, and it's our kind of our flesh versus the spirit, you know, and our flesh wants what we want, and we are naturally evil. We were born evil. We are born sinners. We don't have to teach ourselves how to be like that. We want what we want, and that's kind of the flesh in our lives. But when we have Jesus into our lives and we start to focus on the spiritual things and we allow the spiritual stuff to take away our fleshly desires and we start to focus more on him, that's what Jesus is kind of talking about when he talks about where your heart is where your treasures are. Where your treasures are is where your heart is. And there's that correlation and there's that relationship there that you can't have that way. You see, we live in America. And America, their God is materialism. I mean, I want you to think about this for a second. Our God is we accumulate things and we accumulate stuff. You know, the amount of of storage space that is needed to host our extra stuff because the houses in which we live in and the places in which we live can't hold our stuff. Or every spring when we take perfectly good cabinets or perfectly good countertops and we're like, you know what? We need to change a color. And so we take perfectly great stuff that's fine, maybe a little outdated, but fine. We rip them off and we put brand new stuff in there. You see, that's kind of the mentality of our lives. We are here to consume. And we think that if we consume things, that's going to bring us happiness. That's going to bring us joy. That's going to bring us the things in which we need to be satisfied here in our life. And the bottom line is this, is I'm not here to tell you that material things are bad because that's not what I'm saying. But it's where your heart is if it's bad. Is your goal in your life to consume and to get as much as possible stuff in your life, to get all the accolades, to have power in your life, to have money in your life, to be successful in your life? Is that what your ultimate goal is in your life? Is that what you are right now pursuing as your treasure? Or is it the spiritual things? When I was a kid, I was born with an atrial septal defect, which is a hole in my heart. And so when I was 3, I had to have open heart surgery, okay? And so as a result of that, I still have to go to the cardiologist every couple years to get EKGs and ultrasounds and all that good stuff for them to kind of look to make sure that everything is good. You know, I have to kind of go in for a heart check. So today, we're all going to go in for a heart check. That's kind of what we're going to talk about. Like, is your heart where it needs to be? Is your heart pursuing the things in which you need to be pursuing in your life? So number one, having a healthy heart means this. You're focused on spiritual values. Meaning in your life, you are completely focused on the things of God. You are focused on the important things that you need to have in your life. The spiritual values, the good stuff. You know, maybe you start your day with morning reflections and devotions with God. Maybe you end your day, but sometime through the day, you are focused on some spiritual values where it's kind of an away time for you to get with your Savior, with God, read the verse of the day, read a Bible plan on you version, you know, get with other people. But somewhere along your day is a time where you're focused on some spiritual values to make sure that your heart is in tune with your Savior. You see, time is our biggest asset and our biggest resource. We never have enough time, and we never are going to get more time, and we're never going to get necessarily less time. We have a certain allotted amount of time each and every day. And what we use our time for is kind of our biggest asset, our biggest resource that we can have. So it's important that during those times that you are focused on spiritual values. Maybe you need to integrate your spiritual values into your life, your daily life, as you go to work, as you do different things, wherever you go, work, school, jobs, friends, whatever you're at, you're integrating different spiritual values into your life. And so that people can see that there's a difference in you. They can see that necessarily there's something that is different. You have a light. You have something that's going on. You have something different. And it's just not by because you're standing up and preaching all the time, but it's just because of the way that you treat people. It's the way in which you talk and you interact. It's the way that you control your anger. It's the way that you allow God to consume you from the inside out. And so you've integrated spiritual values into your daily life. Maybe you just kind of pray throughout the day. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, we got to pray all the time, but maybe it's just a sentence. Maybe you're walking through the day and something pops into your mind and you're like, God, would you just be with this? God, I know the situation is tough for so-and-so. Would you be with them? It's simple, but it's a ways in which we can connect and we can make sure that we are focused on our spiritual values all the time. Maybe for some of you, if you are so busy with all the things that you have going on in your life, maybe you need to rest and say no. This last week, I just preached a sermon on Elijah. And we talked about depression and different things and how Elijah dealt with some of that stuff. And one of the most spiritual things that Elijah could do at that time of after he was, after he was just battling, you know, Jezebel, you know, and he was kind of all depressed, sitting under a tree saying he just wished he could die kind of thing. And what did he do? He rested. He rested, he got away, and he rested because the battle is long. And you have to understand, sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can do is rest. Sometimes saying no to something that's good so that you can say yes to something that is great. focusing on spiritual values, you know, make church attendance a consistency, a priority. Make sure that you're involved in church. It's so important that you're involved and you're getting fed and that you are here and involved in church. It's so, whether you're online or whether you're here, it is so incredibly important. I mean, if Jesus calls his bride the church and Jesus died for the church and he gave his life for the church and he did that, would not that mean that the church is important and that body is important? It's important to be involved in church. Maybe you need to find community of life like-minded individuals where you can share your thoughts and you can share your concerns, where you can be built up and encouraged by one another. Maybe it's a Wednesday night Bible study. Maybe it's a different Bible study group or a different small group. But maybe if you want to focus on spiritual values, you find that kind of community that can build you up as well. And last, make sure you serve, serve, and serve. It's important that you give, and we're going to talk about that here in a second, but serving is giving. But that doesn't mean that just because you serve means that your heart's in the right place. Sometimes we serve out of the wrong reasons. We serve out of obligation. We serve out of what other people will think. We serve for the wrong reasons. And it's important that we don't fall into that trap, that we say yes, and we're serving Jesus, and we're doing it all for the right reasons. One of the things that was hard for me when I was in college was, I mean, this is going to sound probably insane, but in Bible college, you know, we read the Bible a lot, right? A lot. So to read the Bible, not to accomplish this assignment or to write the paper or to study for the test, it was hard to allow the Word of God just to kind of infiltrate my soul and my life at times, because it was so, you were so focused on the tasks at hand. You were so focused at accomplishing what needed to be accomplished that you didn't just kind of stop and rest and be filled, which I know kind of sounds crazy, but I remember that. You know, sometimes, you know, it was hard. We were so busy doing things that it was hard for us to be with God. So if you want to have a healthy heart, make sure that on your daily life, you're focused on spiritual values. Next, having a healthy heart means that you are focused on eternal things. You see, we're all going to live somewhere. I need a little help. This is going to look a little funny on the illustration, but I need a little help. Jackson, Carter, one of you come up here. Yep, congratulations. You get to be a part. I hope you dressed appropriately. Come on up here, Ron. Ooh, look at him move. Quickness. I want you to take this end right here and go all the way. So I want you to envision this, okay? I don't know, online you can't see this. I get that. You can't see how long this string is. But I want you to think about this. This is eternity, all right? And I know it's not a perfect example because there's an end, all right? I get it. But right here, kind of where between my two fingers is a piece of tape, okay? That is our life. That is where we are at. And I want you to think about the focus that we put on this amount of time and this amount of substance when all the way through eternity is what matters. I mean, this is what we live for. This is why we buy. This is why we buy the things in which we want and we desire, because we want to please ourselves during this one little time frame of our lives. But when it comes to it, eternity is so incredibly long, and that's what God was trying, and that's what Jesus was trying to teach us here, was that you need to focus on eternity because that's what's important. You know, not right now, not this little piece of tape. Thank you. You can sit down. And so, not this little piece of tape that matters. It's this whole long thing that you have to do in your life. And you see, what's really important is, what are you seeking in this life? Are you seeking success? Are you seeking power? Are you seeking money? Are you seeking materialistic things? What is it in your life that is consuming you? What are your desires? What are the things that you are wanting now that are just going to fall away when it's done? You know, that aren't going to matter in eternity. What things are you trying to do? Listen, you should enjoy the things in which God has blessed you with, 100%. You should do that. And it's not wrong to be rich necessarily at all. And money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is. But what is it that you're pursuing, that you're seeking, that isn't building up eternity, but just that small little piece of tape, that little small life that we're here just for a moment? You see, eternity's gonna, we're going to live somewhere forever. Everyone lives somewhere forever. We're going to be somewhere. heaven, hell, somewhere. Eternity is forever. We're going to be somewhere forever. What is it that you're seeking to get to where you want to be forever? You see, one of the cool things that you can do is that the things that God has blessed you with, and the money that you have that's God's, and the materialistic things that you have as God, is that you can use it for his glory. And what I love is the stories of the people here in our church that have used their equipment, their stuff, their things for the glory of God. Yes, maybe it's they've taken their church van and they've hauled kids down with it. Maybe they've done different things. Maybe they've used their trailers. I don't know. But the things in which we use, their tools when it comes to coming here and helping the church, or their stuff that they have, but they use their stuff that they have that's in their lives and in their hands, they use it for some eternal good. They use their gifts and abilities for eternal good, for something that's important long past this present life. See, one of the things in which I feel like I'm gifted, or that's in a stage of my life, is being involved in youth sports. It's what I've always enjoyed sports. If you've known me from a little kid, I've loved them. I've always have loved sports. And so now my kids, they love sports as well. And so we go and I get to be involved in some of their youth sports. So that I get to coach them. And it's not necessarily because I don't love the sport, because I do, because that's where I'm at. But what I also love is the opportunity that I have to build relationships with other people. What I love is the opportunities that I get to try to teach the values that just because you feel like you lost in this very tough game, that is not who you are, that your identity is bigger. Maybe it's the relationships that I get to build with the parents, and knowing that conversations are going to take place, that eventually you might have to foster a relationship for years and years and years in order for a conversation to take place. I had a friend of mine that I've coached with him since Jackson was 8 years old. And just this week, you know, and we talked briefly about spiritual things along those lines, but this week he went out, he's in Italy right now, which is awesome, right? He was in Italy, and he texts me, he just got done touring the Vatican. He goes, we need to have a talk about religion when I get home. And I'm like, absolutely, we can do that. But it was that investment that took place. It was using the things in which I have, my time and my abilities and my resources, that kind of fostered that relationship and allowed him to think, I need to go. I know he'll know the answer. I know he'll talk to me about this stuff, to kind of be able to have that conversation. And you guys can do the same thing in your lives as well. Allow God to use you, you know, and put you in those situations where you can use your gifts, your abilities, your treasures, your things for his kingdom, your talents for his kingdom. That's putting treasures in heaven, because that's ultimately what matters. Number three, having a healthy heart means that we're focused on having generosity and gratitude. You want to combat materialism in your life? Give. You want to combat materialism in your life? Be generous. Give. You want to show that money doesn't consume you and your things don't consume you? Be generous. Give. And what I love is some of you are Dave Ramsey fans, and he talks about how these baby steps can help you, you know, get out of debt and have a budget and be smart with your funds. And absolutely all his stuff is great stuff. But we often don't talk about his number seven in there. And his number seven is, you're building wealth so that you can give like no one else, so that you can give of your resources, so that you can be generous when it comes to that kind of stuff. And it's important that we understand that that battling materialism, battling the things that consume us in our lives, sometimes the antidote, the prescription, is being generous and giving and making sure that stuff doesn't have our heart. That might mean that you lend your car for a youth retreat and it comes back and there's a mess in it. You know, we try not to, but kids are messy, right? And you're upset because it has a little smudge on the seat, and this is your baby and this is your pride and joy. But realize that those kids had a great time at camp and they had a chance to hear the gospel. And to you, that was more important than any little smudge that's on the seat of your car. I mean, think about it, how it is that we can build up treasures in heaven and focus on the eternity by being generous, by giving. You see, oftentimes our debt and the way that we consume materialistic things allows us to go into debt for lots of stuff. And we think that stuff's going to bring us happiness. We even buy into this idea that we deserve this because we're in America and we deserve to be happy. And so we deserve to have this materialistic thing. We deserve to have this nice thing. We deserve this. And it's anything far further but the truth. We buy that lie. And as a result of this entitlement that we start to think that we deserve and we need and we have, that we fail to live up to what we need to be is thankful for what we have and generous with what we do have. You see, you are constantly bombarded every day with social media posts. If you're on social media, you get it, of all these people posting about the things that they have, and you want these things, and you consume those things, and you want that. But how is it that you can build up treasures in heaven without comparing yourself to what other people have? That doesn't mean you can't go out and buy a boat or buy a truck or whatever those things. That's not what's being said here. What's being said is, what are you pursuing? What is it that you are so incredibly focused on this temporary earth that we're living on, that you're failing to think of eternity when it comes to it? So let's do a heart check. Let's do a heart check. Maybe your GPS isn't working. Let's check to see if your GPS is in tune, so to make sure that you were going in the right direction. What materialistic things in your life are you pursuing? What do you think will satisfy your soul? What do you need to give to? Where is it you need to be generous? Where is it that you need to give? Would you bow your heads with me for a second as the worship team comes up? Maybe you're here today and you're not satisfied with the stuff that you have. Maybe you've taken the blessings in which God has given you and the resources in which he has given you, and you've kind of taken them for granted. And I know we're coming up on Thanksgiving, and you probably sit around the table and you say what you're thankful for. But maybe right now, you need to stop taking something for granted. And you need to be thankful for something that you've been given. Maybe you're here today and you've been pursuing something that's just a little off. Maybe not crazy, but just a little off. Maybe there's something you need to give up in order to pursue the things of eternity. Maybe there's sin in your life that you haven't quite taken care of yet. Maybe there's things in your life that you just know aren't quite right. But what I love and what we believe and what we know is true is that Jesus is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from that. But you got to confess. What is it you need to confess in this moment? Father God, we come before you today, and we know that we live in a world that's full of materialism. We live in a life that is consumed every day, more so than we probably even recognize. God, help us each day to live for you. Each day to take the blessings of which you have given us, the talents of which you have given us, the resources that you've blessed us with, and use them for your glory, for eternity. Help us not to be so focused on this life, in this temporary life, but to be focused on eternity. God, help us to give, help us to be generous, help us to focus on the spiritual values each and every day to make sure that our heart is in the right place. We thank you and praise you in your name.